Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
92.9 ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing on what. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Anyway, no, I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's
rubble in the morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
We got a busy day today. There's gonna be movement on financing a FedEx Forum renovation. So we'll talk to Sam Hardiman about that at 10:30 as we try to figure out how the last pieces come together. Maybe we'll get the money for renovating FedEx Forum, and maybe someday there'll be a lease extension with the Grizzlies. Before that, we got John Martin in the next segment. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then we got Sam at 10:30. So that is the lineup for today. Before I get to the Grizz Lakers, they play tonight. All kinds of interest in that game, certainly relative to most Grizzlies games, and we'll get to that in a minute. I did want to, yesterday we talked about, we opened by talking about the bridge collapse, and then when Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C., was on, he talked more about the bridge collapse. Well, we've subsequently learned much more about the bridge collapse in Baltimore. And Charles tweeted out a thread that I wanted to read because I think it's valuable. And this is what he said. Again, a moment to pause and appreciate the cool professionalism of those in and around the Key Bridge at 1:24 a.m. Tuesday. Ship's pilot radios in that ship has lost steerage and will hit bridge. Someone, Maritime Control, transmits urgent alert to Maryland Baltimore Police Dispatch. Police dispatched with just a few crisp phrases. Ship is lost steering, close the bridge to traffic, and race to do just that. No time for confusion. No time for, what do you mean, close the bridge? Who says? Do we have authority? 4 minutes, alert to collapse. Bridge was successfully closed. That's amazing. Again, this is Fishman's thread. Again, a system worked, a government system, all those people, just ordinary frontline workers in anonymous, sometimes invisible jobs, maritime radio operators, police, fire dispatchers, bridge police, and state police, all working the 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. night shift. Cool, direct, urgent, successful. Maybe not a college degree or a six-figure salary among them. And they use their training and experience at the most critical, high-pressure moment to save lives. All day, every day, that happens and we don't see it. That's your deep state. Just in the port of Baltimore, 44 cargo container ships come and go every 24 hours, 16,000 ships a year. They all require this guidance all the time, and the U.S. has eight larger ports, each ship with 5,000 containers loaded and unloaded. Not to mention the eight construction workers on the bridge patching potholes in the middle of the night so the road stays maintained at a time that reduces inconvenience to us. And yes, it's easier for them too because of low traffic. Every night, 5 or 6 days a week, men and women just like them do that dangerous work on interstates and bridges in all 50 states. Here's the moment. An officer who closed one of the approaches says on the radio, "Can we notify the construction workers? Can we call the supervisor?" That officer was ready to drive out and warn the workers when someone on the radio, seconds later, said, "The bridge is down. The whole bridge." That unnamed officer had been immediately thinking about how to save those guys out on the bridge, workers just like him. Thanks. Thanks to all those folks who make the world run and run safely 99% of the time and work with skill, grace, clear-headedness in invisible but essential jobs. Even as disaster unfolded Tuesday after midnight, they were at work. And that is true there. It is also true in Memphis and in every other city. People are out there doing their jobs, often thankless, often invisible, to keep us safe. We focus so often on the stuff that goes wrong. Think how much doesn't go wrong every single day. And it's largely because of people like that. If when you stop and think about that, Jeffrey, you're there. It is 1:30 in the morning, and you get a call saying, "Hey, a bridge is closed. We need to close the bridge." Right? You can imagine all sorts of reactions. Like,
I have a few follow-ups.
Yeah. What do you mean, close the bridge? Who says? I'm going to have to call the governor. I'm going to have to call the mayor. We're going to have to get authority. Do you have three forms we can sign?
Who the hell are you?
Who the hell are you? Like, whatever. Like, instead, within 4 minutes or something like that, they closed the bridge. Like, that's astonishing. And so you did have tragedy because most of the construction workers who were on there died. The cop was ready to go out, and there's a police officer who writes me recently, and I have so much admiration for what so many of them do. Cop was ready to go out there and try to save the damn construction workers, and before the bridge was down. But what was a incredible tragedy could have been a dramatically more devastating tragedy. Except they did it, and we didn't know this yesterday. We didn't know the details. They were still evolving. They stopped the cars from going on the bridge. When you watch that video, don't you, like, every car that's on the bridge right before the boat hits, the ship hits, you're like, you really are. You're saying, go, go, go.
Yeah, no,
go.
I mean, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, yes, it is a tragedy. And yes, this is horrific and you don't want anyone to die. But it's like, at a certain point, there were people that probably saved lives as well.
Oh, there were a gazillion. That's the point. Yeah, absolutely. It's been really, it was really heroic work. All right. That was that. I just wanted to start that because we talked about it yesterday. And now that we know more, I wanted to shine a little bit of a light on some of the heroes among us. The heroes last night, but honestly, the people who work here in Memphis to keep us safe as well. Grizz Lakers tonight, Jeffrey, and Brandon Clark is questionable, which really means probable.
Right.
In Grizzlies parlance.
Expected to return.
He is expected to return tonight. We'll get to the Lakers part of this in a minute. How big is this?
I mean, in terms of what we have left.
Right.
Other than Mark's night, but it's in terms of like on court.
On the court, it's the biggest thing we have left.
Yes.
I mean, you could have another big game from Gigi Jackson or whatever else. But yeah, this is what we have left.
Correct.
Okay. And it has been, by the way, it was March 3rd last year, I think, when he went down with
the Achilles. Happy birthday,
Mom. What?
Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And March 3rd. When he went down with the Achilles. And here he is. It is the Achilles stuff is amazing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, through his miracle vegan cure, was not able to return.
I don't think he's vegan.
No, I'm just whatever.
I think it's ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca cure was not able to return. Maybe just because the Jets weren't in playoff contention, but was not able to
try.
You know what, though? Like, just for example, there was a bit of news yesterday in the NFL. The Rams signed Tre'Davious White for $8 million. Tre'Davious White blew out his Achilles in the first Dolphins game, Bills Dolphins last, whatever it was, probably October. And
in the route. Because remember, that didn't Milano get hurt like the week before or whatever? Like, it was like right back to back.
It was when they destroyed the Dolphins. The Dolphins were scoring 70 points a game, and the Bills went in and destroyed the Dolphins. And Tre'Davious White goes down with an Achilles, and you're like, he'd already torn his ACL a year or two earlier, and you're like, this has got to be it. And here he is getting $8 million from the Rams 8 months later, 6 months later, 7 months later.
What, it was October, right?
I think
it was the first week of October, right?
Probably. So it was, Gabe asked me a couple things yesterday, because that's, you know, we've known he was going to make a cameo since Zach Kleiman told us he was going to make a cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Or was likely to make a cameo or whatever else. And then we've known for a week, I guess, that it was going to be the Lakers game, right?
So Mike Wallace, I think it was the first game of the road trip, he had said, you know, target
this game. And so we've known it's going to be this game. And so the question is,
I think it was last Monday.
The obvious questions are, what do you expect? And then the next is what is the significance? And in terms of what I expect, here's what I am pretty sure of, okay? An ovation.
Mm-hmm.
Going to go with the ovation, right? And then I expect him to play limited minutes. And I expect him to dunk the ball. And I don't expect him to hit a three-pointer. And I expect him to say afterwards, hey, it was great to get out there. Really, really, really happy to be back. It's been a long journey. I want to thank my teammates. Important to knock the rust off. You know, the first time, I expect him to say there's nothing quite like game action. I expect all of that.
Not in game shape.
And I expect him, I don't expect a vintage Brandon Clarke performance tonight. But I expect to be heartened to see him run up and down and jump and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the obvious expectation is he's going to show some rust, right?
Yeah.
But that's not what I care about. I was telling Mark yesterday, the thing that I'm...
Do you expect him to look springy?
That's it. It's like, and it doesn't have to be like every play, but it's like, okay, I want to just see...
See him elevate.
I want to see at one point where it's going up to get a dunk, like you said, or if it's like, you know, one of those going up high to get a rebound, something where you're like, okay... That looks like I want it to look.
What do we expect? I think everyone would expect a warm ovation. People like Brandon Clarke a lot. And he is an important piece going forward. He's signed. He's an important piece. He's a big. He's an important. So all of that, he's going to get very warmly greeted. The significance of it, Gabe asked me, what do you think the significance is to the Grizzlies as they plan for next year? And I would argue that there are three groups for whom this is significant, at least three categories of people for whom this is significant. The Grizzlies, front office, and I'm talking about this game, right? This game and however many games he plays in the remaining few. The Grizzlies front office, Brandon Clarke himself.
Number two.
Is two. And the fan base, right?
Number three.
I think it's clearly significant to the fan base emotionally to see him run up and down.
Yep.
Right? Brandon Clarke knows what Brandon Clarke looks like now.
And he knows what Brandon Clarke feels like, more importantly.
And he knows what he feels like now. The Grizzlies know what Brandon Clarke looks like right now.
Yep.
Right? And we don't. So for the fan base, it's honestly maybe more important than for anyone else. This is our first glimpse. Like, we haven't been seeing this. We saw video from spring break, but like, this is our first glimpse. So I do think it matters to the fan base in a way that we didn't need to see Desmond Bane come back. I think, like, psychologically, as you think about next year, fans will want to see Brandon Clarke. And so it's significant. I think it's significant to Brandon Clarke because it's a milestone and because all those cliches about, you know, there's nothing quite like game action, want to get back out there, there's an emotional hurdle. You know, it's like the equivalent of NFL player who comes back. You know, first time I got hit and I got back up, I knew I was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
First time I made a cut, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit like that. You want him to the extent that there is a psychological barrier, you want him to go ahead and clear the psychological barrier this year as opposed to next year. You don't know when his first game back be next year if you could have it be this year. So I think it matters to Brandon Clarke. I think it matters less to the Grizzlies in this sense. They know what he looks like. Like, I think the Grizzlies, they're not like, yeah, of course it matters. Like, it all matters. But do I think their offseason will be shaped by what happens in the next five games or however many games Brandon Clarke plays, the way they approach their bigs? No, because they already know. I imagine they expect Brandon Clarke to look something like Brandon Clarke.
Yeah, I don't think they put him on the floor if they didn't.
And I think they expect him to look something like Brandon Clarke next year. Now, if he blows out as something else, then it'll shape their offseason. But I expect them
Oh, we were walking on sunshine today.
I expect them to think that they're going to. And by the way, Brandon Clarke, vintage Brandon Clarke or not, does not fill the hole that they need that was vacated, that was created when Steven Adams left.
Agreed.
So you still need Brandon Clarke can be healthy, vintage, springy, leaping, his normal 100% self, and you still need someone who can bang with Rudy Gobert, whether it's your draft pick or somewhere else, or Jokic or Embiid, or you still need that big body. So I don't know. Like, yeah, it's significant to the Grizzlies, too. They'll want to see him. They'll want to see him play well. They'll be heartened by his progress. But they've been watching him up and down in practice for months now.
And then they've been getting the testing results.
Results, whatever. I think they, for fans and Brandon Clarke, I think there's a psychological hurdle that's important to clear. For the Grizzlies, I think, yeah, of course, it's important for everybody. But I don't actually think much rides on the way they approach the offseason, much rides on his performance tonight, you know?
I hope it doesn't.
Which is how or over the next five games or six games or however many games he plays going forward. Still, it will be great to see Brandon Clarke back and in a season where there's not been a lot to look forward to. This is one of the things we have had to look forward to, and it is coming on a night when the Lakers are in town. In addition, which is fun, it'll be interesting to see which Lakers play because we were talking yesterday, the Lakers were facing a back-to-back against Milwaukee and the Grizzlies. And you're like, okay, well, how are they going to do this with AD and LeBron? This is assuming they're manipulating assuming that the players are actually able to play given the bumps and bruises that they might have, right? How were they going to manipulate or handle this back-to-back? Well, the way they handled it was to play Anthony Davis 52 minutes last night in a double OT, stunning double OT victory over the Bucks. It was actually 52 minutes and 51 seconds, which is the most by any Laker since Kobe in 2012. Now, afterwards, Anthony Davis said, it was fun. Let's line up and do it all again tomorrow. I think there's a reasonable chance Anthony Davis will not be lining up and doing it all again tomorrow, which is today. Don't you think, after 52 minutes and 51 seconds of action last night?
I would certainly think so. Mark had mentioned this, though, and I wasn't confident one way or the other. Is LeBron exempt from the back-to-back TNT because of the year served?
I don't know, but LeBron didn't play last night.
So he was in this beanie.
You would imagine LeBron would play tonight if he's healthy. Now and beyond this, by the way, they are now only two back of the Suns
for eighth.
Isn't it for eighth?
Yeah, you're right.
They're two back of the Suns for eighth. We said they're locked in. Well, they're not totally. Like, they can. But let's be honest. If you get LeBron tonight and don't get AD tonight, right? If you get LeBron tonight and don't get AD tonight, which seems like the likeliest scenario, that's also, depending on your rooting interest as a Grizzlies fan, depending on how you feel about the tank, that's also in some ways the best scenario for the Grizzlies.
Oh, especially given the front court.
Because A, you get the star, but let's be honest. Anthony Davis, as great as he is, no one ever says, I remember that night when I saw Anthony Davis. I went to see Anthony Davis. LeBron, you go see LeBron.
Yes.
So you get the star power of seeing LeBron, and yet who's the real Grizzlies destructor?
That would be Anthony
Davis. And so if you get no Anthony Davis and you get LeBron, that's probably the best of all worlds, unless you want him to lose them all. And while I am in on the tank, this is one I wouldn't mind seeing him win. Brandon Clark comes back. They're playing the Lakers. It's at home. If you're going to win a game. And by the way, Brooklyn's won again, so there's a little more space between. The Grizzlies are right now are seventh from the bottom. There's a little more space between 7 and 8 right
Three.
Now. Grizzlies can afford to slip up and win a game occasionally and not catch Brooklyn. And are they catching Toronto? Toronto, refuses to win ever. There's still only one game.
It just gets so...
only one game behind Toronto, but that is a relentless performance. It's 11 straight now by the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, there's a legitimate
including
question.
Including, terrible teams.
I thought Darko was our friend.
I just think
it's an extreme lack of respect for the franchise that gave him
first chance in the NBA. So there you go. The Grizzlies... the Lakers, by the way, that was an unlikely deal.
They were down 15. Like, I remember looking up thinking,
So they were down with 8:25 left. First of all, they were down 19 early, and then they came back, and then they whatever. But then they fell down by 19 again. So they were down by 19 with 8:25 left. Kind of interesting that they didn't rave the white flag then, but they went on a little mini run. So then they were down 12. With 6:56 left, okay? And at that point, they decide, you know what? While we're here, we might as well go for it. And they did. And Anthony Davis was tremendous. I think it was 2 seconds left, a lob to Giannis in regulation that he did that he successfully defended. Then you got in overtime, he rejects Dame basically at the buzzer with 0.09 seconds left on a finger roll. And then in the second OT, the Lakers went 30 of 32 for the line for the night. 30 of 32 from the line for the night. Giannis missed 2 free throws in second overtime. Now, Giannis, mind you, he had 29, 21, and 11. 29 points, 21 rebounds, 11 assists. Not like he was slaw or anything, but he did miss 2 free throws in that.
I wanted to look it up to make sure I was right, because I was like, I'm pretty certain at 3 minutes left they were down double digits. And with 3:26 left, Chris Middleton hit a 3 to put the Bucks up 10.
Yeah. And they... And
this is regulation, obviously.
And they pulled it off. And I think Giannis was... Was Giannis 1 of 6 from the line? I think Giannis was 1 of 6 from the line. Anyway, that was one, and I do believe this. Rivers can be full of...
Yes, you are correct, Jeff. He was 1 of 6.
Rivers can be full of nonsense, but when he says we took the foot off the gas, that is a real thing in sports, right? You are up by 19, you relax, the other team gets momentum, and it's hard to get it back.
And
that
psychologically,
a lot.
Psychologically, you can't ignore the fact, all right, they're sitting LeBron for this one. It's a TV game. How much do the Lakers really want to be here? We're up 19. We got this.
Yeah. Anyway, big night at FedEx Forum tonight. I suspect tickets are available if you want to go and welcome Brandon Clark back by joining in on the ovation. We do have some other matters to discuss. It was on our show yesterday that the NFL kickoff rule changed. It was during the course of our show that they voted to change the kickoff rule. And I've thought about this some more, Jeffrey, okay? And I have a prediction.
Let's hear it.
Well, again, so here's how it works. They still kick off from the 35 as normal, Okay.
Are you familiar with your terms yet? Like landing zone, strike zone.
I know landing zone. Mm-hmm. What is a scrimmage kick?
That is when he literally tees it up at the 35.
Okay. So just a kick.
Correct.
A kick.
Yes. A kick. This is football going into like corporate America.
Okay. So
like, let's put some terms on it to confuse people.
They're kicking from the 35, but you're the defending team,
correct,
the coverage team, is lining up at the other team's 40.
Correct.
Okay. And then you're kicking it into the landing zone, which is between the goal line and the 20. And basically it has to be returned, essentially, right?
Yes.
It has to be returned. If you if it is down in the landing zone, it comes out to the 40. No. If it is not returned in the landing zone, what happens then? If it's not returned
it's
in the landing zone.
I think if like you down it inside the landing zone, it goes back to the 20.
It comes out to the 20. That's right. So if that's exactly right. If it is, it rolls. If it's into the end zone and is not returned, it comes out to the 20.
But it has to go. It has to land in the landing zone. So it has to land short of
the end zone,
and then go into the end
zone. Rolls and then
This is very simple, people.
But here's the thing. Everyone's taught, and you know, the Steelers signed Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday, and this is going to produce big play after big play after big play. And it's going to be much more like people are speculating whether Debo's going to return kicks or Saquon's. It's going to be much like a running game. You know, there's going to
No, I mean, yes.
It's going to be like a running game.
No, if you've watched it in the XFL, like, it looks like toss sweep almost. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to get outside, build the wall, like, with speed.
Here's my prediction. Okay, by the way, if it's short of the landing zone, mm-hmm, it doesn't make it
40.
To the 20.
That's the 40.
If it's short of the landing zone, that comes out to the 40. Right.
Which I was trying to figure out, again, totally.
Who the hell is going to kick it short of the landing zone? What's even the danger?
What I was wondering is, does it have to, like, what about a squib kick?
Does
it, is it where the ball comes to rest, or is
or
it where
it stops? Yeah, that's a nuance. I don't know. But here's what I would think would happen. If it yields big play after big play, if you simply kick it into the end zone, like happens 95% of the time now.
Because they're still kicking from the same yard line that they were kicking.
It comes out to the 30.
Yeah. Which would be 5 yards difference.
It's only 5 yard penalty from where it is now. Yeah. I think teams are going to see this is going to yield big play after big play, and they're going to say, yeah, there's a chance we can bring him down before the 30. You know, he picks it up at the 2, and we picks him up at the 6, and we get him down at the 18, or we get him down at the 26. But I mean, there's always a chance of a big play. I'm just going to kick it into the end zone and let him start at the 30.
Yeah, I'm with you, because I've always thought, this might be like my most like meathead thought, I cannot stand when I see either my team or some team try to do like the pooch kick, because we're going to go cover. Kick it out of the end zone. I don't even right. want to, I don't want to deal with it. Kick it out of the
Who
end zone.
Like, get them
give
started,
them the ball
start,
to 25.
Start at the 30.
Yes.
I think what we're going to see overwhelmingly is teams say, screw this landing zone, screw all this, kick it into the end zone. Now, they still can return it if it's in the end zone, by the way.
We've seen NFL kickers, like, this is a chip shot. Like, they can kick it out of
the end zone and let them start at the 30.
Yeah.
They were going to, the initial rule was going to suggest if it goes into the end zone, it's the 35. And at that point, I might start thinking about it, right? Do I want them to start at the 35? It's funny how that 5 yards makes a difference. But at the 30, let them start at the 30. What the hell do I care?
Yeah, I'm with you. But this honestly does go to like my meathead tendencies. Like, I cannot stand when I see, you're an NFL kicker, you can literally kick it, I don't know, 85 yards. Like, just put it through the end zone.
Now, there will be stats on this. Where will the average starting point be for a kick that lands and is fielded in the landing zone? Will it be short of the 30? Probably, the average. But the risk, but I bet not by much. And I bet the risk is such of you know, that you'll want to avoid it. It's just how it struck me when I think, well, only a 30? Just kick it into the end zone. I don't think, I think this is this seems revolutionary, but I think most teams are going to just say, screw it. We're just going to kick it.
And maybe that will end up being one of the tweaks, because they mentioned this is just going in for this year, because they're expecting to tweak it. And so I suspect that what we'll see is, if we just find out that everyone is just putting it into the end zone, then there will be some sort of tweak. Because, I mean, initially they moved it, they moved the kicking up, the what was it, the scrimmage kick, the line of scrimmage kick. They moved it from the 30 to the 35 because they wanted they wanted more touchbacks, because they didn't want the big collisions.
In other news, we knew this yesterday, because we once you heard John Calipari on the radio show talk about next year, you knew that he wasn't going anywhere. But Mitch Barnhart has made it official. He has confirmed that John Calipari will be back. By the way, never a good sign when the AD has to confirm that someone will be back. Right?
Yeah.
Larry Veach didn't confirm that Penny would be back.
Right. I'm with you, but like at the same time, he's getting that question 8 million times, yeah, so you might as well just sit there and go, all right, here's the deal. He's back.
It just means it's just reflective of Nadeem.
But it does imply that there was a question.
It implies that a lot of people did not want him back.
Totally.
It does imply that. And then Louisville still does not have a coach, which some people in Memphis are enjoying, I know.
Hand up. It's not even specifically Louisville. There's something, I mentioned this to Mark, and this probably doesn't bode well for me, it doesn't speak well of me. I greatly enjoy watching
coaching searches.
No, I just enjoy watching people come to grips with reality. And they're coming to grips with reality, and like I just love it.
Is it the fan base that's coming to grips, that's having to come to grips with reality?
I mean, but you get all sorts of it displays itself.
Like you liked it when Texas didn't get Saban.
Oh yeah,
that was a good moment for you.
Yes, love it.
You've got to have when you fire your coach. Now, Louisville didn't have any chance and choice but to fire their coach. Right, they had to fire their coach. But
I mean, we talk about like with Tubby. I mean, you looked at the Yum Center at the end. Jeff, I think they would have killed to have a Tubby crowd.
Yeah, so you had to fire the coach, so there was no question there. But you should have a plan, and you should have your plan should have a backup plan. And maybe even your backup plan should have a backup plan. And it feels like Dusty May was their plan. So who do you want? Who would you, right now, they're going to call you, Jeffrey. And I say, listen, we got a real problem here.
I need to ask you a quick clarification. Am I trying to make the best hire possible, or am I trying to make the best hire for me, someone that enjoys content?
No, you're trying to make the best hire possible as the AD. You're trying to, how are we going to, someone that you can get who is going to take the Louisville job. Josh Schertz supposedly is one of the people they have targeted, but he had signed something with St. Louis. Such that they would have to buy him out of the thing.
Yeah,
with St.
that
Louis.
Was an all-time. I forgot about this a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was a week and a half ago. The Shafates, who's the people that beautiful arena in St. Louis at SLU, it's named after. One of them goes on Twitter, and he was just raving about the offensive sets that Indiana State runs. It's like,
that's who they're
going to. We see where that's going.
Indiana State continuing to triumph, by the way. John Schertz is the Indiana State coach. So it looks like at some point he became Plan B, but he's already, it appears, has a relationship with St. Louis, and so may not be available. A lot of talk now about Richard Pitino.
I mean, that's what I'm rooting for in terms of
content.
Just hilarious.
Okay.
Because what if Richard is just like Darth Richard, and really the Emperor's up in New York City running the show?
But everyone in Louisville would love that.
Sure, but I would also just love like the thought, like he has the St. John's job. Like, is he really going to be more focused on the, like, because you know, like a part of him is still like attached to that Louisville job.
100%. And he also feels mistreated by Louisville.
Yeah, but I think they got rid of most of
the people he mistreated.
Yeah.
So that would not keep Richard Pitino. I mean, isn't, in terms of winning the press conference, doesn't Richard Pitino kind of help you win the press conference?
Honestly, though, I don't really know, because while I don't think Richard Pitino is a bad coach, there's nothing that displays that he is
Will Wade wins the press conference.
That's what I think. If you're truly
Will
talking
Wade, Will Wade wins the press conference, but I don't think they're hiring Will Wade. And so maybe no one but Will Wade can win the press conference because they want Will Wade.
Yeah, doesn't this kind of feel like there is kind of like a groomer element? Like when, yes, lots of Tennessee fans, like I still contend the Schiano thing is they just didn't want Greg Schiano. Like that's really what it boiled down to. I do wonder if now, like, you're at a point where it's like everyone said, like, why weren't we going to get Will Wade? And at that point, like, nothing else will do.
And they may be at the point where nothing else will do. All right, we're going to take a break. We got a busy day. We got John Martin coming up next, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman on FedEx Forum funding. All of that coming up. Before then, I will tell you, if you want something framed, Frame Corner Memphis is the place to go, 5035 Park Avenue. Ron Olson was in here the other day. It was pointed out that if you get a Ron Olson original, I have a Ron Olson original in my home. You could take that into the Frame Corner, and they would do a beautiful job of framing that. Or a diploma, prom pictures, sports memorabilia, a jersey. Your kid finished up playing at whatever high school. You want to get his jersey frame. Whatever it is, you bring it in, and they do spectacular custom framing at Frame Corner. It's 5035 Park Avenue, Frame Corner Memphis. John Martin coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's a BetMGM College Basketball Update, presented by BetMGM on 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN is your home for Memphis Tournament Updates, presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. All the latest hoops news and Memphis Tigers updates on their offseason. Kentucky Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart has confirmed that former Memphis coach John Calipari will return as the head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats next season after an early exit this season from the tournament at the hands of Oakland. Tennessee will take on Creighton in the Sweet 16 on Friday, tip at 9:10. The pregame Friday night at 8:30, live on 92.9 FM ESPN. Here are some of the relative odds at the championship. UConn, the favorite at +210, followed by Houston, Purdue, Arizona, North Carolina, Tennessee, Marquette, and former ECS star Cam Jones, and Iowa State. 92.9 FM ESPN is your home for tournament updates, presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Please gamble responsibly.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Old Man Winter here. One more snowstorm.
Not a chance, Mr. Winter. It's spring.
It's also time for the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all our award-winning Hyundai models, all backed by America's best warranty. Hurry in. These deals won't last at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Bob Dylan, the Rough and Rowdy Ways Tour. Friday and Saturday, March 29th and 30th, 8 both nights at Orpheum Theater. Tickets are on sale now at bobdylan.com. Bob Dylan, live on stage. Show will start promptly at 8 p.m.
Time to discover your new Kia at Gossett Kia on the Pike. And there's never been a better time to drive off in your new Kia. Make it happen today in a 2024 Kia Forte LXS. 41 mpg, 219 a month. How about sporty 2024 Kia Sportage LX? We Gossett, 289 a month. Both $34.99 to its signing. And get rugged in 2024 Kia Telluride LX. $429 a month. $39.99 to its signing, all 36-month lease. So call Bobby J to put you in a new Kia today. That's Gossett Kia, 1900 Covington Pike, or online anytime at KiaCovingtonPike.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 650 acquisition fee, 30,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte RE72, $39.85, MSRP 22,320, Sportage R724-7640, MSRP 29,635, Telluride RG499963, MSRP 41,005, includes all rebates and incentives, must finance through Hyundai, excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details, offer valid through 4-1-2024, dealer stock only.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure they'll get you your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Switch to Jackson Hewitt and we'll beat what you paid last year, even if you filed online.
Yeah!
Ain't nothing to it. Switch to Jackson Hewitt and pay less for tax prep, guaranteed. Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Howie, what's going on at the Robert Irwin Jewelers Bartlett location this Saturday?
The six-hour 60% off sale.
60% off? You mean up to 60% off?
No, let me clear this up. It's not up to, it is 60% off. Between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. this Saturday, you could get 60% off anything that's in our showcases.
This Saturday only at Robert Irwin Jewelers, located in Bartlett.
It's a legit 60% off sale. Do not miss it.
Hey, you. It's a fresh year for fresh gear. And at New Balance Memphis, we're here for it. What's newest and hottest on the floor? See what's in store. Come together at New Balance Memphis at Poplar and 240 across from Cadillac of Memphis. New Balance Memphis, we got now.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on Carol. She's more focused on hitting a high note than the car in front of her. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California. Subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving, generally safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love with the free Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams with Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the free Odyssey app today.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Talked a lot about gambling over the last couple days, given everything that is happening in the world, and it reminds us that there are those people who do struggle. About 5% of the people who gamble do struggle. It takes a toll financially, takes a toll on relationships. If that is you or someone you love, I recommend you check out the work of the people at the Gambling Clinic over at the University of Memphis. They've been helping hundreds of people since 1999, well before everything... The gambling popped up on your phones. They're not anti-gambling. They don't think you're a sinner. They have experts in gambling addiction. Set up maybe 10 to 12 individual confidential appointments to try to get a handle on this part of your life. It is the Gambling Clinic, thegamblingclinic.com. John Martin's going to join us here in a moment. We got Chris Harrington and then Sam Hardiman. John joins me now. John, how are you, sir? John!
Hey there, how are you doing? Good morning, Jeff.
What in the world? What is happening over there?
I mean, it's just another day, man. It's just another day of the kid not wanting to go to school, the kid. Damn, man. I tell you, sometimes I struggle. Like, I don't, I love being a father to my kids.
Yeah.
Just because I love my kids.
Yeah.
But I don't love the persona.
What do you mean the persona?
Of being a dad. Like, I don't love it. I kind of hate it.
The persona is one of the best parts. The reality can be taxing. The persona, like the lack of sleep, the inability to have any time for yourself, to do whatever, like all of that can be taxing. What do you mean the persona?
It's like when you're a dad, like you have to it has to be like your whole personality, right? Like it's got to be.
What is wrong with you now? Now you're not talking to us. We can barely hear you again.
You can't hear me right now?
Your persona as a person who wasn't talking into the phone was really coming through very strongly. Now we can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just saying, you know, it feels like when you're a dad, it has to be like your whole personality. Like, it's got, you're like the whole disheveled, you know, goofy, silly goofy, I'm just like, that's not all I am. That's not the only thing I am. I mean, I'm a lot of things.
But you tweet about it all the time, being a dad, and so you therefore, in some ways,
yeah,
you cast yourself in that persona.
I am that. I just, you know, there are times when it's like there are just parts of it that aren't that fun.
Jeffrey, do you experience that there are parts of it that are not that fun? A lot of new dads around here, or new Jeff Johnson.
I mean,
new
I'm
dad.
In an age where. A lot of things aren't fun, but I also acknowledge, like, she isn't moving yet, really. You know what I mean? Like, I can sense that she's probably going to be wired a lot like me, so she's going to be doing some exploring.
I continue to say that physically the most difficult part is when they're little. That's the most difficult, physically exhausting part of being a parent. Then emotionally, the most difficult part is when they're no longer little and when they're teenagers and beyond, including into their 20s, because then they're out there making decisions and not all of them are good, and you're worrying about them all the time. Like, you didn't worry about Riley today, right? You didn't. There's no worry. It may have exhausted you. You may have whatever. It may have, John, right? But there was nothing to worry about today. There was no anxiety involved in today, right?
Well, other than the fact that, like, she never wants to do what she's supposed
to
do.
Yeah, but that's not. Yeah, that's.
And you got to understand about my child. She is a wildflower. I mean, she's absolutely out of control. And, like, she won't listen to anybody.
We took Ben in to see a psychiatrist when he was 2 or 3, because we were worried he was a psychopath. We were like, really?
He has no emotion.
Is he a psychopath? I never understood, and maybe I've told this story before, I never understood timeout. You put your kid in timeout. Here's the question. What invisible force is supposed to make them sit there? Like, I would put my kid, quote unquote, in timeout, Ben, and he would, like, get up, and then I'd put him in his room.
You raised Eric Cartman.
And I put him in his room, and I'd have to sit there and hold the door closed, or we had these giant wooden blocks. And so then he'd take the giant wooden blocks, this is a 3-year-old or whatever, and start slamming them against the inside of the door, gouging the inside of the door. I'm like, what does timeout look like? Do other people's kids just sit in timeout? Seems crazy.
Right. I'm the one that's getting punished.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Usually the kids that would sit in timeout are the kids that don't need to be in timeout.
They need to be in timeout, yeah. Crazy. Anyway, John, I have a question.
I'm just complaining. I'm in one of those.
I understand that.
Moves.
I was listening to the Shaka Smart talk on Sportsmanlike before us, and he pointed out that with the exception of, their best player, who did come through the portal, because was he a George Mason? George Mason, I think, yeah. His coach had left. That everyone else has been with that team. And that he said it's much easier than coaching strangers, is the way he put it. And I loved that phrase, because didn't it feel like Penny was coaching strangers?
Definitely. I mean, yeah. And to the fans, it feels like they're strangers, right?
To each other? To the fans?
Yeah. I mean, you hear that a lot, right? You hear fans complain that they don't get to know these kids, you know, or these players. And I think, you know, that's what they mean, that these players, they show up in, well, with pity, they show up in September or December. But they show up in the summer, and they're gone by March. So I think, you know, yeah, it's definitely hard, and that's what I wrote about yesterday.
I was going to say, you wrote a compelling column about the culture that has been built at Houston, and how...
That's redundant.
And compelling, you wrote a compelling column is redundant. Yeah, and that Penny should follow Kelvin Sampson's lead, and Kelvin Sampson is another one who, he just, as you pointed out in the column... He's raved about Kelvin Sampson. He's incredible respect for Kelvin Sampson. And yet, how do you expect him, if that's the advice, do what Kelvin Sampson does, how do you expect him to do that when we know he has to build an entire new team on the fly for next year? Like, where's the – is it Carl Sharenfant? Is that where the culture's coming from? Where is the?
Well, I mean, look, it could be David Jones coming back for another year. It could be Jordan coming back for another year. You know, Sharenfant, yes. I mean, that's a start. Look, it's going to be hard no matter what path Penny Hardaway chooses to go down. Make no mistake about it. It's going to be a mountain of a challenge trying to get this thing back to a healthy level. I just don't think people realize how much of how damaging last year was.
Why? Damaging how?
Because you...
Damaging to recruiting, damaging to fans,
damaging to the overall health of the program, because you didn't even get a tournament out of it. You basically rented a roster for a year. You went all in on a rental, and that would have been fine, because really you're borrowing from future teams when you don't have anybody that can stay for the most part. So you're borrowing against future teams, and you don't even get a tournament out of it, right? So you over-leveraged, and now you have nothing to show for it. And you're having to reconstruct this thing entirely again. And I don't know if you've seen the players that they're going after at present. Most of them are not very good. I mean, most of them are backup bigs, Texas State level. The kid from Belmont's really good, but
the point
everybody's going to want him.
The point guard from Belmont.
Everybody's going to want him.
Guard from Michigan, I saw, Doug.
Yeah, but you know, you can't take a kid from Michigan who was A, a loser, and B, who was suspended for academic problems. I mean, that sounds like the absolute opposite of what Memphis needs, right? A loser and a guy that got suspended for academic problems? That's the whole thing with Tigers now.
It sounds like A1 candidate right there. It sounds like fits the sweet spot, right?
No, so that's why it's damaging because
Just hasn't been in the Memphis academic advisory program.
Exactly right. So,
yeah, so you borrow from future teams and you don't even, like, if you'd have made a second weekend run out of it, it'd have been worth it because.
Okay, here's my question, though. And this is, like, we got the formal notification, not that it was any mystery, that John Calipari's coming back. I think in order to mollify, satiate, whatever ridiculous word you want to pick, Kentucky fans, John's got to go to the Final Four, right? In order to get them off his back, John's got to go to the Final Four next year. At least the Elite Eight. But I think we can say the Final Four.
Yeah.
In order to be in good standing heading into the next year, all Penny has to do is make the tournament again.
Correct.
Don't you think that's true? Do you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course.
Before this year, we were saying he's got to go on a run. He's got to go. He's got to go on a run, and now we're not even saying he's got to go on a run. He is, weirdly enough, given that he said he had raised expectations, he has lowered expectations this year such that just making the tournament next year is going to get everybody off his back. Oh, there's progress again, right?
No question. The only way there's a change is made is if he doesn't make the tournament. Doesn't matter what he does there. Doesn't matter if he wins. Doesn't matter if he loses. Just has to get there. You know, that's not hard. I mean, it feels hard to Memphis fans, but it's not, especially in the league.
And then you can sell that you've been 3 out of 4 years. Yeah,
correct.
We had the 1 year when the chemistry was bad. We've been 3 out of 4 years. All he's got to do is put together a team that can get to the tournament. Now, he didn't do that this year, obviously.
They were probably a 99.9% chance in January to go.
What's Bart Torvik say about whether they're going to make the tournament next year, John? What does Bart Torvik have to say?
How in the hell am I going to sit here and guess that?
No, you can't.
I mean, I don't even know who they're going to have. I mean,
it's funny, though. You seem pessimistic about what that team will look like. And in a world where Penny has always gotten players. Always gotten players, even this year, right? Always gotten players. So why are you pessimistic?
Well, I just think even if he gets players, it guarantees nothing. You know, like, we're just at the point now where, I mean, he got players last year. He got so many players last year. He got SEC tournament MVPs. He got Lou Henson Player of the Years. He got, a guy that was putting up numbers in the Big East. I mean, he got players last year, and it didn't mean anything. So I'm just not really.
So do you like anyone that they're, whatever. We see who they're, quote-unquote, in on.
Yeah, the Belmont guard from the highlight, the one game highlight I saw looked like he was, an all-star, but it's just one game, So it's just, again, like with me, like, and I had to make this conscious decision. I'm not.
You're not going to believe.
I can't. I mean,
You're taking the preseason pledge. You're not going to be when they are not ranked in the non-conference season. You are not going to be reading off the names of the AP voters who did not put them in the top 20 like you did this year.
Correct. Well, I mean, no. I mean, I put my hand on the stove one too many times. And I think, unfortunately, that's how Memphis fans feel right now. And that's why it's going to be hard to get back, you know, because there is, I think there is a general low level of belief. And they're really, why would there be? Why would you have any reason to believe? I mean, I think that's a fair question. Why would you have any reason to believe other than all you can say, and this is just the truth, all you can say is that Penny Hardaway gets players. And that's true. But he's always gotten players.
We used to be able to say his teams can guard, and we used to be able to say his teams get better throughout
exactly.
the course of the year. So
now you don't know. Now you don't know what the identity is.
How do you feel about Tennessee's chances of getting to the Final Four? And would that hurt you as a Memphis fan?
No, I don't. No, it would not. It would not affect me in the slightest. It has nothing to do with me.
You're one of the you know Tennessee haters on 92.9. You've said Riley is not going to be allowed.
That doesn't make me a hater.
Didn't you say Riley is not allowed to go to UT Knoxville? Did I not hear that? Of course,
that's just me taking a stand. That's not hate.
It sounds like the degree of control over that you have over she's going to be at UT Knoxville. It sounds like tomorrow.
Honestly,
yeah.
I was going to say, like, she, you know, if her first 3 years of life are any indication, she ain't going to listen to anything I damn well say.
Exactly right. How do you like him against Creighton and then Purdue?
I think it's, in terms of the Creighton matchup, it's going to be very, very simple. Creighton is just going to play drop coverage and make them make shots. I mean, it's that simple. They're going to play drop coverage with Kalkbrenner. And if you believe that Tennessee is better from three than they showed against Tennessee.
Are better than they showed against Texas.
Well, they are better than that. But if you think that they're if you don't think they're much better than that, then they're going to probably lose the game. If you think they are quite a bit of difference better than that, then I would go bet Tennessee -2.5. I mean, because that's the way Creighton plays defense. Creighton is just going to drop and make Tennessee make shots. That's really it. And so I guess I would say I'd like Tennessee in the game, but I don't know. It's close. It's really close with me. Like that performance against Texas is really hard to forget. I think they're the first team, the only team ever to win an NCAA tournament game shooting that poorly. I think that's the stat.
Yeah, but that's a credit to them. Just like you credited Houston for everything they went through and still
That's true.
Beat Texas A&M.
Texas sucks, though. Texas is so bad. So it's like, you know, yeah, you better have won that game. But yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, like, why give credit to Houston for giving up all those poor things, you know, and playing that poorly, relatively speaking? And why do I not give the credit to Tennessee? You know, it's an interesting question. And I'm going to have to do some inner soul searching.
Some inner soul searching. By the way, I don't know if you heard earlier, I have decided, it was all this kerfuffle about the new kickoff rules in the NFL. And then I was studying them carefully, because that's what I do. I don't like just on top of the head stuff. It's not me. Other people do that.
You don't shoot from the hip.
I don't shoot from the hip. No, I would never shoot from the hip. If you kick it into the end zone, if you kick it past the target zone, the landing area, into the end zone, you know what happens? And it comes out to the 30. Well, everyone's just going to do that. They're going to say, I'm not going to risk having it in the landing zone and run down my throat.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.